Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Mr. Kumede, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon, my elder. How are you?
Very well, thank you. And how are you?
I'm well, thank you so much.
Lovely, man. I hope that your day has been well spent so far.
I most definitely try to make the best use. I hope the same for you as well.
Fantastic. Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely. Well, let's get to it. You know, the three angels' messages culminate when Christ returns to earth to harvest the saved of all time and takes them to heaven. Now, Christ will also apparently harvest the wicked at his coming, as we are told. Now, what exactly does this mean? What are these two harvests spoken of in this particular chapter?
Yeah, thanks, my elder. I like how the VOP lesson ties in together and builds on itself. Mm. So I think the best way to think of the harvest is one of the topics we've covered previously, which is the judgment. It ties into the judgment conversations we've had before.
Mm-hmm.
If we remember, there were three types of judgments, where one of the key things that we read about from the book of Revelation is that everything we do in life, whether good and not good, is recorded in the books. So the Bible speaks about books, and it speaks about the book of life.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what God is going to use as he's coming, and he's using now, even at the current investigative judgment that is happening. So as we know, for instance, a farmer, I remember my grandmother used to plant mealies at the back of the yard, and we would help to sow the mealies, we'd help to water the mealies. When it came time for harvest, some of the mealies would not grow the way that it ought to.
Mm-hmm.
So that those, the good mealies, will pack them nice, take them to the house, and the bad mealies, some of it will use it and replant it back and not necessarily take it for eating. So it's the same analogy that Jesus, or the Bible, is using in the book of Revelation to say there are two types of harvest. There's harvest to righteousness and there's harvest to damnation. And it coincides with the theme of judgment that we read about, especially in the book of Hebrews and Revelation as well. So I think that's the context of the conversation.
Mm, beautiful. Now, what does it mean that now is the acceptable time? Now is the day of salvation, but according to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 2. Is that day not when Christ comes?
Yeah. So so that speaks to, for instance, what we were speaking about yesterday regarding God's church, or the people that are part of God's church, talking to the characteristics that people who are part of God's church possess. And the key themes that came from Revelation 14, part of the three angels' messages, again, it's around fearing God and keeping his commandments and all of his commandments. And we also touched on the fact that the Bible speaks about the testimony, and also having the testimony of Jesus Christ. So now is the time for us to be living according and displaying and showing forth and exhibiting the characteristics that we spoke about yesterday, which are summed up when we read the Ten Commandments. So this brings about two broad views, you know, about salvation and judgment. One being the fact that, you know, we are saved by grace. This is what Paul says in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, not by our own works. And the same Paul, the other view, when he writes to the Ephesians, he says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So meaning that as much as we are saved by grace, no one, you know, sometimes that's why I cringe when there are statements that are made when someone says, no, if you do this, you're not going to heaven. So maybe people have their reasons why they say that.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
what we learn about in the book, specifically, you know, in this particular chapter of Ephesians, where it's clear that it is not the works that we do that save us, However, there is a way that God expects us to live. And I think this is what Paul is referring to when he's saying, work out your own salvation. But not that it's the works that will save us. But the fact that we are saved does not mean then we need to live recklessly.
And of course, it's a not a once saved, always saved phenomena.
Yes. So I think that's why even when Jesus says, pick up your cross daily and follow me, And I guess it's this day principle is consistent because even in the book of Matthew 6, when Jesus is teaching the disciples how to pray, he says, you must say, give us this day our daily bread. So every day we need to take and choose Christ. Similar to marriage, you choose your partner every day, because how it was yesterday may not be how it is today. Days are different. So it's also in Romans where Paul speaks about the fact that Christ loved us whilst we were yet sinners. And I think if we go with the mentality that maybe if you assess your day, what is this book? It's in Proverbs that says even our righteous acts are as filthy rags. And I think if we maintain that attitude that, Lord, I perhaps know of sins that I've committed. These could be sins, deliberate sins, or sins of omission. I confess them. I think it's good, always good practice to always confess, because sometimes we may sin and not be aware that we are sinning. So that's why it's important for us every day to practice humility and humbleness, to confess our sins, to try again every day to work better and better at being better sons and daughters of God.
Do tell us about the parallel that the lesson gives us with the crowd in Pilate's judgment hall.
Yeah, so that is actually a very touching scene, for instance. And a lot comes out of that scene. Because if we remember the story, for those of us who've read it, when Jesus was put in front of Pilate, and there was also another known criminal called Barabbas, and the people or the mob at the time, and the sad thing again is that this mob was not a mob of what we may call Gentiles, or what the Bible sometimes calls Gentiles, non-Jews. These were Jews, right? And they were the ones that when Pilate then said, hey, who should I release? Should I release Jesus or release Barabbas? And the mob of Jews cried and said, free Barabbas. So that is, for instance, similar to how we make our choices today, to say who is the king on the throne of our hearts? Who is it that we choose in our daily lives? Because sometimes we may look at those particular scenes and say, oh, those people were wrong. Or we look at sometimes even Adam and Eve and say they were wrong by eating the tree. And we distance ourselves from a situation where we also choose Barabbas instead of Jesus. And that's why I always like to do an introspection, because it seems to be a trend that sometimes we may look at other people, perhaps maybe because they don't go to the same church with us, they don't worship on the same day with us. We may feel because we are part of the organization, therefore maybe that makes us unique. And similar to the same mob, I think one of the lessons we spoke, I said for me, the epitome of lostness amongst the church is displayed in the Jews having caused Christ to be nailed on the cross. And the same Jews on the Friday night say, hey, let's get him down before it is Sabbath, So killing the Lord of the Sabbath, and yet later on saying that we are going to keep the Sabbath. So that's a clear statement of how lost we can be. So we must not limit the lostness and seeing it from a distance. We must also only often and daily do an introspection of how much we have crucified Jesus and freed Barabbas by making living lives that are not according to the commandments of God.
Now, before I let you go, I want to check if one finds that they're in a church that does not keep all of the commandments of God. I mean, we touched on this yesterday. What should then be the next move? Is it to jump ship, or is it to to try and convert my brethren, or do I just mind my business and I apply what I've learned in private?
Yeah, Ish, my elder, this is a tough one because you asked a crucial question yesterday around the fact that, hey, does it, by virtue of being part of a church that is known or based on principles of keeping all the commandments, does that mean I'm safe? Does it mean that I'm saved? Or by the fact of association with the denomination, does it mean I actually do keep the commandments? Sometimes, I never want to bash or whatever the case may be, because I like the analogy of the church being a hospital, that we're all sick here, we're trying to get better. So we shouldn't be surprised if someone displays characteristics that are so somewhat not in line with the values and the principles of the Bible and the church. So if then someone finds themselves in a denomination or a church that does not keep all the commandments, one should therefore, I think, first and foremost, pray about it, to ask God to direct them to the church that bases its conduct and its principles on all the commandments. And that's why we've also emphasized all when you're asking the question yesterday. And so it's also important because there are people who, for instance, go to church on a Sunday. That's an easy one to kind of make an illustration of. And I've spoken to people who say, no, I also keep the Sabbath. I go to church on a Sunday. And you kind of then have to have the con. So there are people who are genuinely thinking that when the church they are a part of, that is the right church, right? So it's not only just identifying that does the church keep all the commandments, but are they understanding that they're keeping the commandments correctly as well? Because it helps to be part of a body of believers, to help one another in this journey of life, in this journey of Christianity. So I think I'm forgetting what book it was, but I think it was Christian Service that was defining the what is the church. And I like that he said the church is a vehicle that helps us, to get closer to God, that helps us with salvation, that is helping us, to be saved and to go to heaven and to live eternally. It's a vehicle, right? So then if the vehicle, because one could be in a vehicle, but if the vehicle is going to a direction that is, not going to the destination that it ought to, then one needs to get off that vehicle and join the vehicle that, is headed in the right direction. Because it could be in motion, but what is your destination? So I believe then one has to essentially then jump ship. But I guess in the same vein, our responsibility in the Seventh Day Adventist Church is to make sure that when we have new joiners, for instance, even if when we don't, we must just try our best to make sure that we display these characteristics that we spoke about so that people can have the confidence that they're at the right place. But I guess also we also need to be merciful towards one another, that the members of the church may not be perfect, but at least they're on the right journey or the right path by ensuring that we are living according to the Ten Commandments, all the Ten Commandments.
Well, my elder, I must leave you there, and we have had beautiful discussions with you since yesterday, and I must appreciate the time that you made to speak to us this afternoon. Blessings and blessings and upon blessings to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, my elder, to you too.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.